May date myself a little bit here, you know, back to like 18 months ago when these things were cool. But anybody know what this is? Selfie stick. Selfie stick, that's right. That's what's up. Let's take a look at this. What's the best looking crowd at today? Where are you at? Right? Nope. Okay, over here. All right, I hear you. Yeah, we'll get some snapshots in there. Get the right. Oh, we're over here. Cheap seats over there. Let's, boom. This selfie stick, right? If you don't know what this is a extension of your arm. It's amazing. Look at the view. I can't get myself in. There I am. Perfect. It's a device used to be able to take better or maybe bigger pictures of you and your accompaniments. Last summer, the family and I got to go on vacation, and we went places we've never been before with our kids. And we went places even the times that we've been there before we hadn't been. And like we went through the mountains and we drove around cliffs and we got to a couple places to where you pull off to a pull off. And the point of the pull off is that you don't just stop in the middle of the road and cause an accident. That you actually pull off the road and get out of your car and then go and look. And we get to this place where like it's just beautiful. I said it wrong in the last service, so I'll say it wrong again here probably too. A panoramographic thing. It's a wide picture, right? Like you can see mountains, cliffs, beach, ocean, beach, sunset, cliffs. The most beautiful place I've ever been to. Like just, we sat there, and if you know our family, we're never quiet. And for a moment, I don't know what was more beautiful, the picture or the silence, the six of us. Like it was just like. And then over here to the side was this couple. And they were working so hard to get the selfie, right? They were trying to get themselves to be the focus of the picture, but also to be able to get a little bit of the background. And I started having this inner dialogue with myself of like, you get to see yourself every day. Why are you working so hard to make sure that you are in the photo? But why are you working so hard to make sure that you are recognized in this? And I get like, this generation especially loves to take pictures of what's important to them, and being somewhere is like a reflection and a record of I was here, I got to be part of this. And I'm not against that. But I think that maybe as Americans and maybe as global citizens, we have a tendency to want to be selfie-centered. We have a tendency to make sure that I'm always in what's important, that what's really important is that me and where I'm at, like I take the importance with me. And I know that saying that, some of y'all are like, I ain't never used a selfie stick, Pastor. You ain't talking to me today. So let me just back up to before selfie sticks when we did things like group photos. Anybody remember those days where like you had to sacrifice someone from the family at the reunion to go and stand and take 17,000 photos because no one could always stand still at the same time? Or remember those 2 years where the digital cameras with timers, so you set the timer on there and then you run back and you'd be like, one, two, and oh, it's a bad picture. I didn't get the timing down right. Like we've always been people known for the picture of me and others. And while I say that I think maybe we've got some selfie-centered tendencies, let me see if I can prove it to you. If you've ever been part of a group photo before, and then you're presented with the photo or maybe the screen of the photo, who's the first person you look for?
Yourself.
And if you don't look pleasing as you would hope to be in that photo, it's just a bad photo altogether, am I right? Like, you could have 72 people in the photo, 71 of them look great, and you look like this, and you're like, take it again, it's a bad one, everybody gather around. We maybe have some selfie-centered tendencies. When you were born, like, it started early, your first words probably went something like, mom, dad, and mine. Like, we think of ourselves a lot. We think of ourselves highly, we think of ourselves as important. Like, it really fits into who we are as human beings, that me, myself, my needs, my wants, my desires, they're top notch. They're most important. Like whether it was trained in you, whether it was started in you before you could be trained, like I'm not sure, but I know that even as adults, it's still a big deal. Last week we started this series. We said this series is about being made new. Jesus didn't come just to make me better. Jesus came to make me new, and new is better than better. Jesus came and he gave his life so that I may be made new. And then Jesus, we talked about, gave this really crazy illustration to say that to be made new, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Not like crawled inside your mom's belly, be born again. That was weird. But he said to be born again was to be born of above, to be reborn through Christ. And when I am born again, I am forgiven, I am free, I am healed, I am living a new life, born again through Christ. And we said this last week, and I just touched on it knowing I was going to dig into it this week, but part of this journey of living a new life is letting go of the old life. And there's a lot of us that want to do both. We want to live the new life, but we like parts of our old life so much that we don't want to let go of them. And I'm here to tell you today that in order to live the life that Jesus gave his life for, in order to live the life that God created you for, you can't do it while clinging on to the old you. For some people would say, like, there are parts of this globe where it's easier to understand that. I would never say it's easier to share the gospel. Anywhere that you share the gospel, there's going to be spiritual resistance and spiritual warfare, and that's just part of what this is. I mean, there's more at stake than just a good conversation. But there are parts of this planet where it is easier to share, let go of the old you. Like, there are parts of this planet where there is very little hope, where whatever's going on in someone's world, there's little to hope for. The expectation of tomorrow or next week is not very strong. So when you can say to someone, listen, I've got better than next week ahead for you. I've got better than the plans that you thought you were going to fulfill on your own. I've got more. I've got an eternity with a God who created you and loves you and called you to a greater place. I'll take that. It's easy to share the gospel there. It's easy to get people to understand and to buy into what it looks like to let go of self, to live a new life. But in our particular part of the globe, we have a lot that we put our hope in. We put our hope often in our accomplishments, and we put our hope in our achievements, and we put our hope in our value, or what we've accumulated to determine is our value. And when we say things like giving your life to the Lord means surrendering all that you are and all that you have, I don't want to do that because I've worked really hard to get this. I've put in lots of time and effort to get this. This is a really valuable part of who I am and my journey, and I don't know that I'm ready to let go of part of this or all of this or any of this part of me. And Jesus would tell us that if you want to follow me, you need to let go of all of the old you to chase after him. And a lot of us get stuck in this, Jesus is Savior and Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I can accept Jesus as Savior. I get it. Like, I'm good, but I'm not perfect. And because I wasn't perfect, I disqualified myself from eternity with God, from interaction with God. I can get behind Jesus as Savior, but Jesus as Lord requires me to surrender all that I have, and I have a lot to lose. And as Christians, a lot of us, we try to battle this tension between what can I cling to and what can I move to, and we miss out on the new life that Jesus has for us because we're dragging around an old dead version of ourselves that we just don't want to lose. If it's possible, can I just hold on to this one thing, this one habit, this one desire, this one attraction, this one part of me that I really kind of like to keep with me? And it's hard for us to wrap our mind around letting go of me requires me to let go of all of that. Of all of me, so that I can become fully new. I just want to let go of parts of me because of the feeling, because of the attraction, because of the draw, because of the desire. I don't want to. I'm conflicted. I'm torn. I'm struggle. I mean, I think it's an ongoing struggle that we as Christians have to let go of the old me, to walk into the new me. I mean, if we were to break down like this journey, this faith journey, one of the, I would say, easier parts, but don't misunderstand it because it's the biggest deal, is the decision you make to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, to put your faith and trust in him, that declaration to go from dead to new, from old to new. It's the greatest decision you make. Scripture teaches us that all of heaven rejoices when you make that decision, but I would argue that it's probably the easiest decision that we make when it comes to our faith. Because we put that decision out there, we make Jesus Savior of our life, and then Jesus invites us not just to believe on him, but remember to follow him. And following Jesus means to surrender my life to him on the daily. Following Jesus means if I'm going to live this new life, I can't do it while trying to give CPR to the old dead me from time to time. And we try to drag it around. We try to bring it with us, but we just can't. You can't coexist. You can't have old and new at the same time. It can't be both. It's one or the other. So I think that we could sum it up like this in the instruction that Jesus gives us. We need a death to selfie. I'm not talking about the photo that we take, like no longer put yourself in a picture. I'm talking about no longer let yourself be the focus of the picture. No longer let yourself be the highlight, the big part. Instead, our job is to be in the background of the beauty that God has created. Death to selfie. The old me has to go so that the new me can come fully to life. And to walk out this life that God has called us to do, following Jesus in ways and plans and purposes that we never understood until we fully let go. The old me trying to drag around parts of the old me, trying to use the spiritual AD machine. And hold on, I'd really like to go back to this habit. I'd really like to go back to this experience. I'd really like to go back to this desire that I have. Clear! Come on, buddy, come back. I need you. I need you to help me get through this. I need you to help me get through this pain, this struggle, this normalcy that I've come to tolerate. And Jesus would say, leave it alone. Let it die. Because what's new isn't just better. It's better than better. It's a new life and a new creation. Paul would come along after Christ, and he would give us so much incredible instruction on what it looks like to live this life following Jesus as a new creation. And it's crazy because Paul talks about this a ton in a whole bunch of different places. In this letter to this church, and in this letter to this church. And then he comes, sometimes ties them together, and sometimes they overlap, and sometimes he's just trying to get a new perspective to get us to understand why. Because this has been a big deal since then and will continue to be a big deal, that my life is not about me. My life is about Jesus. And in him, I have this new life. So Paul would explain in places like Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 20. He would say, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body, but trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When I ask Jesus to be my Savior, the old me is crucified. It's killed. The crucifixion, crucified is what Jesus went through. It was a very common practice of execution back when Jesus was walking the earth. And Jesus was crucified. It is an incredibly painful way to die. It was taking a piece of wood and putting it into a T shape and then stringing the body up using some stakes or some spikes through the arms and through the feet to hold you there until the pain subdued and you died, suffered. Paul would say, the old me needs to die. The old me has to die. The old me has died. Been crucified with Christ so that I can live in him to live in me. And for some of us, we're carrying around this old dead weight of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, missing out on the new life that Jesus gave his life for, hanging on to the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that are drawing us back, the attractions, the feelings, those things that are outside of God's will, to where we would say, no, but I just don't want to let this go. If I belong to Christ, the old me is dead. And in order to live this new life, I got to let it go. Scripture teaches us some really key points on how we do this. How do we make a death to selfie? Jesus gave his life so it can happen, and sometimes the only thing stopping it is our own resistance. Scripture teaches us a couple different things. If you're taking notes, I think they're worth writing down. I have to submit myself. In order to let death to selfie happen, I have to submit myself. Submitting means, submission simply is putting myself sub to the mission. That the purpose that God created me for is greater than any desire that I have on my own. I'm sub to the mission. I fall below the mission. That we is greater than me. That my purpose through God, through God's will, is greater than whatever I could want to accomplish on my own. It's submitting myself, me below the mission, under the instruction and direction of Jesus. What's it look like for me to get up on the daily and say, today I submit myself to God's will, to God's plan, to God's purpose? It's a decision that I make. The first decision, following Jesus, calling him my Savior. The second, to submit myself. Paul would say it like this in Romans 12:1-2. And it's weird because this is one of my favorite passages about submission, but we never really read it in that context. Romans chapter 12, verse starting in verse 1, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, church folks, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then Paul, would, if you're not tracking with him, takes what seems like a hard right turn here. He moves on from that to the very next sentence, verse 2. So don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Giving of my body is a physical act of submission. But Paul wasn't just talking about my physical body. He was talking about my entire being, my body, my soul, my spirit, to give all of me in submission. And we all do have selfish tendencies. We all do want to reserve those. After I give all of me, we start to second guess it. We start to hold off. We start to hide maybe parts of who we are. But Paul would encourage us, let all that I am be a living sacrifice. And I think it's crazy that he puts the word living in there. You see, it would be easy to let the old me be the sacrifice that I gave to God. It would be easy to let the old habits be the sacrifice, the old things that I didn't really care for, that were kind of dead anyway, that really didn't help me. It would be easy to let those things be the sacrifice. It'd be like me going to the grocery store after church today, going to the produce aisle, buying all the rotten fruit and vegetables, and then making a dinner and lunch for my family. I love you guys. Here's all the leftovers, the dead stuff that nobody wanted anyway. So when Paul says, let this be a living sacrifice, it's this decision. The old me's already gone, but now I give all of the new life that I have submitted to Jesus. And he knows. He knows this won't be easy. So he makes this turn in verse 2 where he says, look, this is going to be a challenge. Because your whole life you have thought, you have believed, you have wanted to believe that me is the center of the universe, that selfie is the most important thing that people will see. So the only way that I'm going to be able to get to the place where I can fully submit all that I have, all of my living life, is to give God space and place to change the way I think. Because for my whole life, I have thought, this is all about me. And life is all about me. And I'm the most important thing. And we may not say those things, but we act that way. We look for ourselves first in the group photo, right? That's our natural bend. So Paul would say the only way that that changes is to give God the space to transform you by changing the way you think. I submit myself. My new life requires me to submit all of who I am to Jesus, to follow after him with everything. And then it doesn't stop. Then it continues. I submit myself and I understand that there's going to be feelings and temptations and habits that flood back in, and I'm going to have a tendency to want to go back and to revive that old me, to bring that back in, because this is how I learned to cope, and this is how I learned to feel loved, and this is how I learned to find function, and this is how I put all these things together. And if I could just go back here, if I could just do this again, if I could just for a couple days, I need old Luke again. Scripture would teach it like this, that I must then deny myself. I must deny myself. Denying myself is not God's means to bring about torture upon us. Like some of y'all, if you're fasting with us in this 3 weeks, you've got through week one, and I bet there were some times where you really felt like, this is a battle to deny myself. Like, I could really use some caffeine about now. I've been fasting 6 hours, and it's a lot to deny myself. Some of y'all are fasting sweets. Last night we had some dessert with some friends, and Katie was like, nope, not doing it. She had to deny herself the draw. My wife loves desserts. Like, that is her kryptonite. Like, every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner requires a dessert. I'm teasing. That's a joke. That's me. But some of us who have experienced that during this fast, part of what we've learned is that there is some real struggle, but also, if you've been here, there's some real power available when you learn you need to deny yourself. And if you haven't jumped in on the fast, can I just encourage you, it's not too late to jump in. We're doing a 3-week fast to dedicate the first part of this year to separate ourselves out, to deny some of our world connections so we can disconnect from the world and better connect to God. And today's a great day to start if you haven't started yet. In fact, in your notes, there's a link, and there's a link on our website. There's more resources every week we're adding to help you succeed at denying yourself, disconnecting from the world so you can better connect to God. But the scripture teaching about denying myself was not just isolated to the times that we fast. It's every time there's a temptation, there's a draw, there's a spiritual attack against you, you have the power, not the old you, but the new you, to deny the temptation. Paul writes it like this, chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, not my cross, his cross, and crucify them there. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was crucified with him, but I didn't have to bring my passions and desires that do not line up with God's word with me. I could put them on his cross, and he will bear that burden so that I can walk in freedom through Christ. So in Christ, when I have this tendency to feel overwhelmed or taken over, and I know I should deny, the old me could never have been strong enough to deny. But the new me isn't just operating under my power. It's operating under the power of my Savior. When I've crucified myself, then Jesus comes and lives in me, and it's his power, the same power that raised him back to life from being dead, that now has the power to deny anything that comes against me. And I don't walk around as a defeated Christian that's so miserable because I can't get past this old temptation, this old habit, this old hang-up. I've got the power that brought Jesus back to life living in me, and I can deny anything that doesn't align with God. I can deny myself anything. And I hope you've learned that in the fast. And if you haven't yet, I hope that God shows that to you. Jesus, he talks about it so often. One of my favorite places in Luke chapter 9. Luke writes it down for us. Jesus is speaking. He says, when Jesus saw the crowd, he made this statement. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, submit. You must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your old life, you will lose it. But if you try to give up, or if you give up your life for my sake, then you will save it. We could camp there all day long. I love what Jesus has to say. If you want to find your life, you got to give yours away. You got to submit it. And if you try to hold on to it on yourself, you're going to lose everything. Oftentimes, I think we get confused in this concept of taking up my cross daily. Like, I used to have this visual for the most of my life when I would read this passage or hear this passage and think, I need to pick up my cross, all 300 and some pounds of it, put it on my back and carry it. And I think of it like, I visualize it like, okay, here's Jesus walking down this road, headed to the hill, and he's got this cross on his back. And if I'm going to follow him, I got to pick up my cross too. And then he and I, like in unison, would do some sort of like prison chant, like, oh, you doing okay, bro? I'm doing okay. Think, oh. Like following Christ is this miserable, horrible, torturous thing. Listen, we're going to face challenges. The Bible promises that there's going to be a struggle and a battle, but it was never about that. I think of it kind of like Ricky Bobby praying to baby Jesus. Like, he's grown. Jesus is no longer carrying the cross. Jesus defeated the death that came from the cross, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the Jesus that I follow. So when I pick up my cross, I understand that there's more to the definition. In the Greek word, it would have been said, aero. Close, don't judge me. It simply means to raise up from the ground, to take up my cross or pick up my cross, but it also means to take from among the living. What Jesus was telling us was, if you're going to follow me, you need to pick up your cross, set it up, and then put yourself on it daily. That means that every day when I get up, I'm going to kill the old me. I'm going to make sure that the old me stays dead, because today I will live for him. It's a reminder that on the daily, to deny myself, I'm going to have to crucify myself, to leave my desires and my passions attached to the cross of Christ so that I can live this life. And every day is a denial of the old me and the old desires and the old life. And I take up my cross so that I can find life. Anyone who hangs on to it and tries to do this under their own power misses it. Because if I try to keep it, I lose it. And if I give it away, I find it. Jesus calls us to this new life. Submit myself, deny myself, and then lose myself. Now, lose myself, other than an Eminem song, is really kind of confusing. Like, if I say lose something, typically that comes against me like it's something that's happened bad to me. Like, I have lost something, I should go seek it. Like, I've lost my car keys, I've lost my ticket to the concert, I've lost my kids at Disney World. We won't talk about that right now. Like, losing things typically means like scurrying around to find it. But when I choose to lose something, it takes on a different meaning. When I choose to lose something, I'm putting it out of the way. I'm making it harder for me to find. I like to say it like this. I'm making it hard for me to sin. I'm pushing it away. I'm determining it as useless. In the ancient Greek, it was pronounced, he gone. That's not true. That's his dad jokes coming out of me. When I lose myself, the old me, he's gone. When I lose myself, I put the old me far from me, not dragging around in close proximity. So when I feel the first temptation, it's an easy grab a hold. When I lose myself, it's gone. It's as far away as I can get it because I don't want to be tempted by this anymore. I don't want to be tricked into seeing this or manipulated by this. It's closing this down, shutting this down because I don't want it. And here's the challenge that some of us get into. We as humans love to be comfortable. If I was to do a little trick right now and a little experiment right now and said, everybody cross your arms. Everybody cross your arms. Go ahead. Do that real quick. Now uncross them. Now cross them again, but the other way. You don't even know how to put your hand there. Like, it doesn't fit. Everything works mechanically. The physics are there, but it is not comfortable. It's the way you've always done it. It's the same thing with your hands. You can do this, and if you move over one finger, whoa! It's weird. We are a people who love comfort and will often prioritize comfort over good. We'll prioritize comfort over best. It's the reason people will stay in abusive relationships. We have a fear of the unknown. We have a fear of new because what we do not know could possibly be worse than what we do know. And normal is okay because I've learned normal and I've learned to accept normal. And I'll stay in this relationship. I'll stay in this habit. I'll stay in this sin because I know what it is and I don't know what that is. And that's terrifying. And many of us will miss out on the very thing that God calls us to because we won't let go of the normal in our life. We won't let go of the thing that we've been going through the motions on, the coping mechanism we've continued to hang on to. We won't let go of this because what's over here is less uncertain to me. Unless I truly put my faith and trust in Jesus, I'd rather just stay here in my comfort zone, crossing my arms the same way, living through what's been normal to me. We get used to it. We get comfortable with it. We learn to accept it. We hyper-spiritualize it and say, this is just my cross to bear. Come on now. Jesus didn't die so that you have to carry around that old version of you all the time, wondering if you can really let go of it. He died so that you could be made new. Let it go. Let it be crucified to his cross. Let it be something new in your eyes and in his plan. The old me must die so that the new me can come fully to life. For some of us, I think that we're sabotaging our faith journey because we're so comfortable with the normal, that we treat God's blessing and God's guidance as a threat. That I don't know what this is because it may take something away from me. That this may cause me to miss out on something. This may cost me something. It may cause me to lose something. Here's what I know. If I've fully surrendered and denied myself and I lose myself for the good of Christ, I've given all that I have. If I've given all that I am and all that I have to him, what do I have to lose? It's all his anyway. I got nothing to be sad about. I got nothing to be normal or mad about. I've got nothing to worry about losing the normalcy in my life about because I've already given it to him and I'm ready for today's surprise. Today, I pick up my cross, I set it up, I die to self, and I live my new life. I love how Paul says it in Colossians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 5. He says, so put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your old life was still part of this world. Verse 8, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have been stripped off of your old sinful nature. It died. Let it be gone. And its wicked deeds. Verse 10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know. Change the way you think. As you learn to know your Creator and become more like him. Throwing out the old. Letting go of the old life so that I can become new. We're selfish people. We want to worry about me. We want to get what's best for me. How many of us this morning, we walked in and started to walk over to the seat where we normally sit in and we said things like, I hope the auditorium is so full that someone's sitting in the seat and I have to sit farther to the back. Anybody? How many of us walked into church this morning thinking, man, God, show me somebody that I can bless, that I can give, be generous to, and bless them or pray for them. God, show me somebody I can pray for. Now, how many of us said, I hope nobody's sitting in my seat because that's my seat? How many of us said, God, how can you bless me today? Now, how many of us said, God, I hope that they play that one song because they ain't played it in like 3 months and it's my favorite and I'm starting to get mad? We live a life where even in our faith journey, we still want it to be about me. We got to learn how to let God change the way we think, to submit, to deny, to lose. Losing myself is to deny my selfish nature, that my life really is all about me. Following Jesus means my life is not about me. Following Jesus means that I chase after him, submitting all that I have to become like him, to be surrendered, to be selfless, to be servant-minded, not selfish. Living the new life. It's that God's purpose for me is greater than my purpose for me. It's that God's plans for me are bigger and more important, and I should prioritize them over my desires to accomplish for me or in me. When I lose me, I stop thinking. I stop searching for the things that benefit me. When I lose me, I stop looking out for me, and I start looking to serve and to love others. When I lose me, I put everything that God's called me to ahead, the mission he has, the purpose he has above everything else for me. In our Christian journey and part of our faith step walk process we do, we have this practice that we do where we actually symbolically do this very thing. We call it baptism. Now, baptism involves like a tank, a tub, a lake, a river, a pool, some body of water, an overgrown mud puddle, whatever it is. And the practice has much more to do with what we do than the water. The water's just water. But the water is symbolic of a grave. And when I put my faith in Jesus, the old me dies. And baptism is symbolic of the burial that comes along after someone dies, that we're dipped down into a watery grave. And it would be really weird if we just left you there, so we don't. But when you're raised back out of the water, it's the same as when Jesus walked out of the grave he was buried in, the old me dead and left in the grave, and the new me alive and in Christ, walking out this journey, this faith, this love, this goodness, this plan that God has for me. Old me dead and in the grave, new me alive in Christ. That's why we do it. We call it making your faith public because we do it in front of people, but really it's the funeral, it's the burial, it's letting the old you go, and symbolically the new you comes and emerges to life, which is where I want to end today. See, as Christians, sometimes we get these other things down really good. I gotta submit. I gotta deny. I gotta lose. Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And when I know him, then I find myself living. I am alive in Christ. Church, can I just say, it's a time for the church to walk and live in a way that we are seen and known as alive in Christ, not down and defeated all the time because I've given everything away so that I have the freedom to live in Christ, so that I have all the goodness of my God overflowing into everywhere that I go and everything that I do and every place that Jesus leads, alive. Church, imagine the difference we would make if we really believed we are fully alive in Christ and lived like it. And I love in Romans chapter 6, Paul takes all these different nuggets he's been sharing and he kind of writes this like conclusion, like includes a whole bunch of this whole concept. He says it like this, starting in Romans 6:6. He says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive in Christ. Amen, church. Come on, that's something to live about right there. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, so sin and death have no power over me. Jesus was an incredible man who gave his life. We've had lots and lots of people on this planet live an incredible life and give their life for their cause. But Jesus defeated death and didn't stop there. The same power that brought him back to life, he gave to you and me so that we may live alive in him. And everywhere my foot would go, I am alive in Christ. And every word that I would speak would reflect the life of Christ at work in me. So that we live this out. Church, we have the best news to share. Let's be alive as we share it. We have the greatest hope to place our hope in Jesus and defeating death. We know and we believe the greatest comeback story. And it might seem crazy to think so because of this, I'll submit, I'll deny, and I'll loose. But it's so that I can find life, that I will be alive. Following Jesus is not a life sentence to be miserably carried out for your days on the planet. Following Jesus is not a life sentence, it's a life sending. And he has sent you to go into the world, to preach the gospel, to share the good news, that more people might find life ascending, alive in Christ. And in this new life, I have freedom, and I have joy, and I have purpose, and I have passion, and I have life. It's time to let the old me go. Let him be buried, and die, and go live.